Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Going Old School Show. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you live on Blog Talk Radio. It is Wednesday, the 25th of May in the year 2022. Again, if you want to join us right off the top, 515-602-9730. Lots to discuss, but that wouldn't be a show if I didn't bring in my two counterparts. First and foremost, Mr. John Crow. JC, how are you today, buddy?
I'm good. How's everyone doing?
Excellent, man. The other guy, the third head on this three-headed dragon is the one and only Joe Foran. Joe, what's up, buddy? Thanks for your time.
Gentlemen, how are you today? And anytime, my man, anytime. I have a good time doing this.
Good time. Always a pleasure after a couple-week hiatus due to some stuff, but we're back again. The Going Old School Show, Chips, Joe, and Crow. Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you. Again, it is May 25th, and we are coming to you live at 6:01 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And obviously, there's a lot going on in the sports world. We got some NBA to talk about, which will lead off. We got some baseball. We're gonna debut our 2022 MLB Top 5 Power Rankings a little later on in the show. And we'll talk a little Boston Red Sox, the hot Boston Red Sox. And if you were crazy, if you pushed the panic button a couple weeks ago, yeah, I should have talked you out of it. And that's a knock on myself. We'll get into that as well. NHL playoffs. Canada looking for its first Stanley Cup since 1993. Some good teams in Edmonton and Calgary fighting it out. And we'll get into a little playoff minute, if you will. And we'll talk some wrestling, as we always do, on the Going Old School Show. But first and foremost, as we all know, tragedies come and go to the point where it's almost, dare I say, routine, for lack of a better term. And it's sad what happened in Texas. Hundreds of lives were affected by the shooting yesterday, and it just brings everything in perspective. Once again, people, we're killing ourselves. We hate ourselves. It's never been this bad in my lifetime, and it gets worse seemingly. And I just shudder to think when we're going to reach a climax so we can finally turn this thing around, be it government, be it people. Lack of love. Just, man, there's no love out there, and we really need to get back to this, guys. And we're all parents here. JC, and I'll get your thoughts because, you know, you posted something on your Facebook blog, and you can get into that with Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors in a moving three-minute monologue speech that kind of really just kind of put into perspective what we need to think about in reality checks as we know it. But your thoughts, JC, and I'll get into that, Joe. It's just scary to think that, man, if you're a parent of a child, you shudder to think of what the world's going to be like in 5, 10 years, 6 months for that matter, JC.
Yeah, it just breaks your heart that we're doing it to ourselves, in essence, because we all were there, Sandy Hook, 10 years ago. 26 kids were taken that Friday morning. We said things would change, and here we are 10 years later, and countless school shootings, about 300 of them later, and we're still doing the same thing, all because people want to play politics in D.C. I don't care whether you're a Democrat. I don't care whether you're Republican. You believe in God. You don't believe in God. You're independent. Whatever. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to say to do the right thing. And until the people, our supposed leaders, get off their ass and decide that it's better to save a life than to keep the power, the money that they're getting from these lobbyists, nothing's going to change. That's the problem. Chris Murphy, senator out of Connecticut, said it best. He was there. He was a rep in Newtown. 10 years ago. He's a senator now in Connecticut. What are we doing? What are we doing? Because every second we delay this, there should be a vote right now in D.C. about a bill that was passed in the House, and I don't want to get political. It's been sitting there for 2 years about extending background checks that would help this and stop some of this. Because you see the multiple, you know, of the shootings, they tie into mental health. And if you can't stop it at its incentive, you know, at its start, then you're lost. How is an 18-year-old allowed to go in and buy 375 rounds of ammunition when moms and dads have to wait in a CVS and a Walgreens while someone goes behind the counter and unlocks to get three cases of baby formula? To me, it's that simple.
Yep.
It's like, come on. Until we as a nation, because this isn't a world problem, this is an American problem.
Yep.
This doesn't happen anyplace else. Until we are ready to fix the problem and stand up, then nothing's going to change. Unfortunately, I have two kids that it's been nonstop chatter for the last 24 hours about this. And, you know, we all say, come off 2.5 years of just the youth of America being put through, you know, gut-wrenching day after day after day because of the pandemic. And now you bring this into the mix again. No wonder. I mean, what do you say to a kid when they say, we don't want to go to school because I don't want to die? What do you say?
Yeah.
Joseph. What do you say when the guy named Ted Cruz, who's from the state that it happens in, who basically says, nothing's going to get done. We have our rights. Americans have their rights. We're not going to change it. We're not going to change a thing. But yet, America hasn't changed. I remember 10 years ago I was working in Shores. We had a memorial in store and got yelled at by a customer because she was in a rush. And what are we waiting for? Why aren't we waiting on her? Because we had a five-second freaking pause, and they were pissed. And America hasn't changed. We're still in a rush. We're still meaner than ever. Go to a supermarket. Work in a supermarket. And you should see that people just don't care these days. Until America until they get our collective heads out of our asses and realize there's bigger things in life than because, you know, Senate, it's the power to vote. Get them out of there. But nobody wants to get them out of there because they stay with the same old, and we keep on hearing. How many more tragedies is it going to take? And it's getting monotonous. Buffalo, Sandy Hook, yeah. I mean, Buffalo wasn't kids, but it's still mass shootings are becoming an everyday thing.
Exactly. And you don't know where to, I mean, they happen at malls, they happen at theaters. I mean, where are you safe? You're barely safe in your own house because people can break in there, but that would probably be the safest place. But anywhere you go outdoors, you're susceptible to something that can be so random and out of your control that it boggles the mind. And as a parent, guys, and when I'll never forget, my first thought when I had my kids was, please don't let them die before me. I can't even imagine what these parents of these children are going through, losing senselessly their loved ones, their children, and their lives have changed. Their friends' lives have changed. Their families' lives have changed. Hundreds and hundreds of lives have changed because of deaths that need not happen, people. Stop the violence, man. Somebody's got to be a crusader. Somebody's got to step up and just get it, be it a government official, someone. Because I shudder to think what it's going to take for us to really turn a corner because – we don't know that. It's an unanswerable question, in my opinion, and that's what makes it that much more creepy. So, hey, thoughts and prayers to all affected by the shooting, and even in the one in Buffalo, because I know we haven't been on the air since the shooting in Buffalo, but everyone affected by these senseless tragedies, our thoughts and prayers are with you from the Gold School Show. But be that as it may, love people. Love is the answer. Cliche, true. All right. Let's get back to the business of sports, shall we? The buffer that one is. Going old school. So Chips, Crow, and Joe here for you. Blogtalkradio.com is where you can find us live right now at 6:09 p.m. And if you want to join us, we're talking all kinds of sports. You can at 515-602-9730. And as we all check in like 10 minutes before the show, we chat up a little storm kind of game plan about where we're going. And I can't help but thinking that in the NBA or a sport, when it's a 2-2 series and a pivotal game 3 is upon us like it is tonight in Miami with the Celtics and the Heat, a part of me doesn't even want to see it because this is, and I was saying to JC and Jill, maybe the most boring 2-2 series I've ever witnessed in any sport. Incredible. And it's not only that, it's in the NBA. So before we break down the Celtics and Heat, game five tonight, talk about the series, JC, let's talk about the problem in the NBA this year, the playoffs. Blowouts. If you're a casual basketball fan, I'm uninterested in the first quarter. I mean, I lose interest. I'm clicking the channels. Something's going on in the game of basketball, JC. What's your sense? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things going on. One is, for the first time in forever, we're really going day to day as to who's available for any of these games. Here we are at 6:10, and all day long, all we've been going on is, all right, are these COVID rumors true about the Heat? Are they still members of the staff back in Boston? You know, latest rumor I've heard is that Bam Adebayo is out.
Yep.
And that they're just waiting to make it official because they don't want to let the Celtics know. But who knows? I mean, we've seen it. Smart's been out. Horford's been out for the Celtics. Rob Williams been out. On the other side, Kyle Lowry, you know, Tyler Hero. Who knows who's going to be out tonight? I mean, you just don't know. And that's one. Two, I think with the extreme blowouts, it's feast or famine. People are, you know, teams are jacking up 50 three-pointers a game. So if you make them, great. But if you don't, you're screwed. So I think that's got a little bit to do with the 20-point, 25-point swing in each of the games. And third thing is, I think teams are very early to give up. I think the Heat, the other night, they said, hey, we got ours. We got our one game. We got home court back. Oh, man, adversity here in this first quarter. We can't hit anything. We're down 18-1. Eh, we're done. We'll pack it in. We're good. We'll see you in Miami.
Yep.
Mavs. Warriors last night, same thing. Warriors are like, eh, you know what, we're down early. Let the bench, if they can get it back, which they did, they got it back to 8 in the fourth quarter, but they were fully said, you know what, we'll see you in game 5. I mean, it's a problem, and I think it goes right back to where we are in the regular season where teams say, it's okay if we give up games, load management, it's okay. It's okay if we just dismiss and we don't have to win some games. And unfortunately, I think what's going to happen is they're going to go revisit the playoff schedule, and they're going to try to make these things longer. They actually think that going every other day is too much of a stress on these teams, which is ridiculous. Do you remember back in the day, back in the 80s, when you actually had 3 games in a row, 3 days, on a Memorial Day weekend?
Yep.
I agree with point number 2 on you, JC, is the 3-point shot too much. We're jacking up threes. So all it takes is a team to keep on missing threes and be cold as ice. The other team keeps on hitting them. Next thing you know, you're going from a 5-point lead to a 15 to 20-point lead in no time at all. And then the team gets dejected and says, all right, yeah, let's pack it in. And the lack of effort, the intensity on these guys is killing me because Bird, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lambeer, Jordan, this goes on. Those guys would say, screw you. We're coming back, and we're not done until the final buzzer goes. These guys would not give it up right now. These guys just like, let's get them next game. It's like just the intent, lack of intensity is very evident these days on these freaking players, and it just kills me because you're making too much money, and the love of the game isn't there like it should be.
Agreed. And going into last night's game with Dallas and Golden State, the previous 17 NBA playoff games, the average margin of victory was north of 18 points. The average margin of victory. That's all you need to know. That's not good. It's not good for the game. I mean, from a sports standpoint, whether it's threes, whether it's whistles, whether it's every team's flopping now. That people are crying, and then you have you go into replay, and it's becoming longer. You know what I mean? And it's better for the game. You want to get the calls right, but the NBA, like any other sport, it's suffering because of the micro officiating, micro coaching, whatever you want to talk about. It's just we're pinpointing these things instead of letting the game play out itself, be it referees or players. And you're right, guys, three-point shooting has a lot to do with it. If you go cold for 6-7 minutes, boom, look at that the other night. I mean, they missed their first 14 shots. They didn't make a bucket chuck in Miami Heat here until with just under 4 minutes left in the first quarter. By that time, it was 18-1. I mean, that's all it takes is one stint of being cold and the other team shooting well and doing well, and it's game time. And you can't get that back. But NBA is a problem because usually the playoffs is where, you know, the season goes long and some people don't like the first quarter. You can get like the old adage, guys. When I lived in L.A. in the 90s, the Lakers played the game, and a couple hours later they would have the fourth quarter replay, because if you see the fourth quarter, you pretty much see the whole game because that's what it came down to, and it's not so that much anymore. So it's something wrong with the NBA, guys, but be that as it may, we still have playoff games to get. Again, game two, game five tonight at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time between Miami and Boston. And, guys, one thing for sure. The last two games, the Celtics and the Cavs have attempted 68 free throws. Miami has attempted 28. Do you think that's going to change tonight, JC? Just a bunch.
I don't. Just for the one reason is, you know, we've seen it, you know, all throughout playoff history. The team that's more aggressive and drives to the lane, mm-hmm. goes to the hoop, they get the calls. And that was the problem with the Heat the other night. You know, they're down 18-1, but they're still jacking up, you know, long shots instead
right.
of just driving it. That's what we loved about the Pistons, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Celtics, the Sixers back in the 80s. You miss three shots, they're like, screw this. We're just going through somebody, try to get a foul call, get to the free throw line, see the ball go to the hoop, and then go from there. And, yeah, were some of the calls ticky-tacky the other night? Absolutely.
Yep.
But that's what the NBA refs do. If you're driving to the hole, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, whether it's a foul or not. And, you know, the one guy that I think could turn that around for the Heat is Kyle Lowry. But he just doesn't seem to want to do that. He just wants to go breeze through the lane and then dish or, you know, jack that 35-foot, you know, three-pointer. So I just don't know, you know, with that team, who's that guy? I mean, Tyler
yeah.
Hero, they missed him, you know, awfully in game four because he's the one guy who can, you know, can kind of mix it up a little bit because he's got a great outside shot, but he can also drive it a little bit. But it doesn't seem like there was a guy out there. I mean, Strus and Vincent, they're outside shooters. They're not driving to the hole, you know. So it's, you know, and that's why you got to watch out. If this rumor is true about Bam Adebayo being out for the Heat, that's huge because where is the inside presence that you desperately need? So what you're talking about, Chips, they need to pound and pound and pound to get themselves in foul trouble, and they were able to do that, you know, in game three and, you know, build that lead and hold on. Because I think the one thing we've seen through this bad play, because it's been bad through four, is the Celtics talent-wise are the better team. Play enough, have that one good quarter to steal a game? Absolutely can.
Yep.
I just want one game where a guy has a natural flow to the basket, taking a shot, and doesn't go through somebody's jaw because he gets in their way to not be looked at. Dude, if a guy's going up for a layup and you try to block him with the jaw, that's your problem, not the guy going up with the ball. Because if it's a natural flow to the basket, how are we reviewing it? Why are we reviewing it? Oh, that's right, because you're flopping and you're acting like a soccer player from Europe. Oh,
yep.
Oh, also from her. You're 240, 250-pound guys. Guys could run you over and not get hurt, but you're going to flop. Hell, Butler went from half court to under the basket. Billy gets touched. He should have had the Oscar of the Year award. Marcus Smart, same way. It's like he runs the school of flopping. But the refs are buying into it. Just let them play. Let them play. If it's legitimate, fine. But these guys have just flopped. And like, oh, we're taking the charges. What happened to the guys actually standing there and actually taking it? No, they feel first contact. Next you know, they're going flying. They didn't do that back in the 80s and the 90s. Hell, you try to go through me, I ain't going anywhere. You run into a brick wall. Try to do that to Robert Parrish. He wasn't going anywhere. Lambert, same thing. He was going to follow you. You were going to know it. So it just, these guys are stumped. It's like, am I watching European soccer or am I watching NBA basketball? There's not much difference these days, and it's just, and it's ugly, and sad to watch.
Agreed.
You know what, guys? If I hear Jeff Van Gundy have to say one more time in the series, well, what's the guy supposed to do?
Yes.
That's a normal basketball motion, which he's right. But the fact that he has to say that like five times a game tells you all about where the NBA is and how they officiate a game.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about – go ahead, Joe.
The Pierce went one time, and he didn't – with the arm, and he hit whoever it was, Lowry, and it's like, well, what, no, it wasn't a foul. Just like, bam, when he got hit by Tatum going up. Really? Dude, you put your face there. What is he supposed to do with me? It's like he's going to the basket. He's trying to score a basket. You got in the way? Oh, well, just keep on playing. Deal with it. Next.
Exactly. And all I needed to see was the pregame show on whatever, I think it was TNT, but it was the NBA guy. Stephen A. Smith was on the panel, you know, the pregame show, the national show. And they did a segment before the game, you know, on predictions. And each guy said that part of their predictions was because Celtics are going to get the call that night, or so which one team is going to get the call. That's all you need to know, that these talking heads are predicting who's going to win a game because so-and-so the ref, Scott Foster the ref, or whatever, this team's going to get the call, so they're going to win. That tells me all I need to know about the state of the NBA. It's incredible. Right, you guys, it's not like the olden days. The wussification of the NBA is just like, man, these guys are bigger than ever before, and they're just flopping and this and that, and these ticky-tack fouls, and it's incredible. But you know, if the players are doing it and getting away with it, then it's systemic, and it's going to keep going on, guys. That's just the way it is, and it's sad because basketball is a physical game. It always has been, and you can't take that out of it. You just can't do it. So be that as it may. You know, look at Miami Heat team, and I was going through some plus minuses. I went down to Rosa the other day. Listen to Miami's plus minuses. Jimmy Butler is a minus 3 for the series. Adebayo is a minus 2.3 for the series. Tyler Hero, the sixth man of the year, minus 9 when he's on the floor. Victor Oladipo, minus 6. Max Strauss is minus 13. So I go to the Celtic cross there, 1 minus, Daniel Tice. Minus 12. And I'm saying to myself, how are the Miami Heat even in the series at 2-2? Please, somebody tell me. JC, help me.
Two good quarters. Two good quarters, man. Third quarter game 1, first quarter game 3. But you know what? That's all they needed. That's all they needed. And if they would have just showed up on game 4, they, you know, who knows? They could have walked out of there with another one because – Let's be honest, the Celtics won by 20 the other night, and that might have been one of their weakest offensive performances of the season, shooting under 30%, and, you know, they still won. You know, it get masks, you know, because they won by 20, you know, was 30 until the Heat bench, you know, kind of forced the issue in the last, you know, 6 minutes and got to cut down. But what's Jaylen Brown? My goodness, you know, we make a big deal about, you know, about Tatum, you know, 10 points, 7 turnovers in game 3 that they lost. But how about Jaylen Brown in game 4? Comes out 3 turnovers in the first quarter, just hero ball, trying to dribble it right into the middle of the Heat defense. 2 fouls, 12 points. But it gets shoved under the rug because they won by 20 and Tatum went back to his consistent mode, you know. So the whole series for the Celtics, really a microcosm about Tatum Brown. Who is there and who isn't? Because they're each going a game apiece. Will they show up together? If they do, the Celtics should cruise, honestly.
Right.
But it's been one guy shows up, one guy doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but give it to the Heat. If you're the Heat, you got to be looking at yourself and say, you're right, Chips. We've played god-awful in this series, and we're 2-2, and we have 2 games looking at our face down here in Miami and South Beach.
Yep.
We can absolutely win this series.
White, finally did something that me, Chip, we were talking about this. White did something he should have done a long time ago. I don't care if he makes it or not. He started throwing up some shots. Oh, wait, he made a couple of shots and scored the first 7 points, which means Miami has to play defense on him because Miami was sinking their defense every time he freaking drove. Because, like you said, I didn't realize Ben Simmons got traded to the Celtics because it's like White refused to shoot the ball. It's like he finally shot the ball and then he had to play some defense. And, yes, I agree with you, JC. Brown tried to dribble through the guys, turned it all ball over, had two quick fouls, but nobody mentioned that he had a bad game because we blew him out. But he can't do that because in game three, if he wouldn't have done that halftime, granted he scored 40 points, but he tried dribbling it through Oladipo, and Oladipo, well, all he did is throw the ball on three straight times. But, you know, I'm still going to try to drive through you because, oh, wait, it's hero ball. And he didn't learn, and it cost us the game. And it's like, so if they decide to play as a team, they're the better team. They start throwing the ball, moving the ball around to the open guy, easier shot. We should win, but will they do that? Well, only time will tell.
Agreed. And Chris Mannix said it right. He said that Jaylen Brown had the ugliest 40-point game in the history of the league. And he was right. I mean, you look at the 40 and say, wow, what a great game. And then you see some of the plays and like, man, you should have to think what could have been if he had been a little more focused. But let's get with Mr. Tatum, guys. And I know he's elite. And, you know, you can say he's top five, you can argue top ten, whatever. He's in the top echelon of the league as far as players. But what do we need to see, JC, from him? Because one game is good, one game not so good, seems to dog it a little, not dog it a little, but he almost looks disinterested. They're still crying a little bit about the officiating when he shouldn't be, just nose to the grindstone. But he's still not there yet. If he wants to be considered with the top five or the elite of the elite, he's got to show this game in and game out. I mean, he has a chance to do it now, to continue with what's going on in the series, because he's a little too inconsistent right now, JC, and correct me if I'm wrong, to be considered top of the league.
Yeah, no question. You hit it on the head. Consistency. And listen, I'm not going to kill him if you have a bad shooting night. Everybody has a bad shooting night. That's fine. Go 3-for-14. That's fine. The problem I have is the 8 turnovers, 6 and a quarter. That's what I have a problem with, is superstars are superstars because they do more than one thing, you know? So, hey, your shot's not driving, you know, not dropping that one night, drive it to the lane.
Right.
Kick it back. Dish it out. Don't turn the ball over. Rebound the ball. Play defense. If you're a superstar at that caliber, you find a way to impact the game. And that's the part that's missing for him. You know, it's almost like they need the chip on the shoulder. They need the bulletin board material like Rodney Harrison and the Patriots of days of old, where they just need that in order to, you know, really be engaged. And that's why you saw him after game four. You heard him say, listen, we're going into game five. It's a must win. That's going to be our mentality. When they think it's a must win, that's the only time that they play with that urgency that we saw the other night. That's why, you know, they win. They don't lose two games in a row. They haven't done it in the playoffs. So, you know, that's what I need from him. That's what I need from Brown, is I need consistency, because that should be good enough. I don't need you to both score 30, 40 points every game. I need you to bring the consistency to bring out so you have just enough. I mean, you look at the turnovers, and I'll just shoot you this one stat. The Celtics have 57 turnovers in this series. Brown and Tatum have 30 of them. Tatum has 19, Brown has 11. That's crazy. And there's one other thing. Marcus Smart, he's only played two games in this series. He's got 19 assists. Jaylen Brown has 9.
Good point.
Scary.
Yep.
Scary.
Yeah,
that's why this series is 2-2 instead of being 3-1 or being over.
Yep.
You said it all, JC. A great player makes players around him better. Magic Johnson made the Lakers a better team all around. Larry Bird made players around him better. Michael Jordan. They make plays. Jordan, if he wasn't scoring, was facilitating, whatever you want to call it, passing the ball off, assist, getting the ball to people who were hot. And that's what Jason needs to learn is, look, if the game's not on drive, dish it out, get somebody at the three-point line, use your double teaming on you as to an advantage and get it to an open man and get it to the person that can help you. Stop trying to do it all by yourself. Pass the ball around. Jaylen Brown, instead of dribbling through the guys, swing it around. Maybe you'll get it back when you open, get an open lane to the basket. Stop trying to do it all by yourself. But that's what a great player will do is have the players around him help him. He's not there yet. Tatum's not there yet. He may be top 10, but to crack the top 5, he needs to make plays around him better.
Yeah, agreed. And obviously, one more thing before I want to ask you about, before I want to move on to the Western Conference, I want to ask you something about Luka. But, okay, Tatum and Brown, and Tatum and Brown, is this their third or fourth conference final? It's at least three, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So does that thought start creeping in? And what is the legacy of this team? If they lose this series, you look at a team that several times, and you're looking at the meat of the team, and Smart, Tatum, and Brown, who can't get past the conference final. And how much does that weigh into the psyche of these guys? And if they do lose to the Heat, what does that tell you about these guys together not being able to overcome and get to a final when they've had two cracks at it, JC?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. The one thing we knock them for is do they have the killer instinct to get over that hump? Because you're right, this is what, 4 out of 6 for Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals? I mean, this is not uncharted territory for this organization. You know, this core group should know how to react in these situations. I get that the last time they were there was in the bubble. It's pretty unique. But still, you should be able to understand the gravity of the moment. And at this point, seeing how this series has played out, knowing that you are the better team talent-wise, you got to win this series. Mm-hmm. Or it's an absolute knock against who you are. Now, I'm not saying you're going to blow it up, that would be if you lost in the first round or got to didn't make the playoffs, but least make the East Conference Finals, you're tweaking. But absolutely knock against the two of them because, you're the guy. You guys have said you're the guy. You know, and it just makes me wonder, about the influence around them and what they need. Because, we saw it when Smart and Horford went out there. Tatum and Brown got rattled. And they needed that calming influence of Big Al, Papa Al. So it makes you wonder at what point, and I get that they're young, but they've played a lot of basketball, a lot of important basketball. They need to grab this, go win 2 games, and then see what you can do in the NBA Finals. That's a whole nother level for them. But the Eastern Conference Finals, you're 100% right. They got to win it.
I'm with you, JC. Look, only so many times you can make it to the conference finals before they question your mentality of getting to the big games. You gotta get there to the finals. You can't just keep on getting to the altar and not getting there totally. It's like the court's gonna question Tatum and Brown on this one. It's like, and look, their legacy will go down as guys that couldn't get it done when it counted if they don't win this one and they don't get to the finals. Only so many times you can get there. It's like only so many cracks you get at it. And it's like you've had a rough chance to take advantage one of these times. I mean, literally it was set for you this time. I mean, you went through teams with injuries. And granted, you had no Williams, but still, you still had the core of our team there. There's no reason why we can't get to the finals, and it's unexcusable for them not to get there this year.
JC, Joe Ferran, Johnny Sunship's here with you on the Going Old School show on Blog Talk Radio. JC, I was going to ask you a question, but I know you got your finger on the pulse in your bunker with what's going on, but something a little Bam Adebayo news you want to talk to us about?
Yeah, we threw out the rumor. We told you there was a rumor floating around there. We told you it may not be true, and guess what? It's not true because Bam Adebayo is warming up down on South Beach at FTX Arena, so they wouldn't be letting him do it if the man had COVID. So he's going to play. So let's see everybody play. Let's see Smart play. Let's see Williams play. Let's see Adebayo play. Let's see Lowry play. Let's lace it up and have a good one tonight.
Please. Please, yeah. A little resistance, please. That's good. A little. Give me a game tonight. I'm going to say give me 3/4 of a game tonight, and I'll be happy. I'll take a fourth. It's just however it goes. But Joe, give me a game tonight, and I'll be happy from a basketball standpoint.
Give me a what?
Give me a game tonight. A game, not a blowout. A competitive game for the majority of the 4 quarters.
I want a game where it's like tight. Maybe a 10-point swing, but not a freaking 20, 25-point swing. I want 4 quarters where dig in, play some defense, play some basketball, stop flopping. It's not soccer, and let's go. Let the boys play tonight on both sides. Look, I don't care one side or another. Just be consistent on the referee side. I don't want to see him going to the monitor to check for a freaking flagrant foul. If the guy was going to the basket, got in the way, tough shit. Get up. Suck it up, deal with it, buttercup, and freaking let's play some basketball tonight. But it's like, this is turning into a freaking, it's a muck fest, and it's like, I'm not a fan of it. It's like, why are you going to the monitor every 20 seconds because, oh, that's right, because they went to the school of flopping. Yeah, no. I want real contact. It's like, when Bam Adebayo hit somebody and makes him go flying. No, he's not big enough. He's not strong enough to get Grant Williams off his feet. I don't care who you – no. Grant Williams 6'6". He's like a bull. You ain't getting him off his feet unless he's acting. And it's getting tiresome and it's getting ugly out there. And it's like I miss the days of the Celtics Pistons where this went out at each other and fought. How might fought? But at least they fought and weren't acting as like it was real. You were playing tough. I don't know if anybody's getting intestinal fortitude on either one of these teams, in my opinion.
I agree. And you know what's funny? I do want to ask you, well, obviously we're going to move on to baseball in a minute, but one basketball question, it has to do with a guy named Luka Doncic in Dallas, because I'm under the opinion, and I think about this all the time in every sport, pick a player who you would start your franchise with, that you could pick one out of the NBA. I'm using the NBA for an example now. If you could choose one player in the NBA to start your team or franchise, Luka Doncic is right there for me. And what it does to me, guys, you know, we've seen the NBA as a players' league. They like to go to the beaches. They like to go to Miami. They go to the Golden Glamour in L.A. They'll go to different teams, and they'll talk amongst each other and just destinations. New York is one, too, be it Brooklyn or the Knicks, for that matter, because it is New York, an entertainment mecca, if you will. But what's going on in Dallas with Luka, I'm looking at that Dallas team as maybe a destination for some free agents, JC. I'll start with you because I love his game. And if he's as good as he is and what he's doing, and I'm not saying he's all by himself, but they've had a hell of a run in Dallas with him at the forefront. And if I'm a player, I might want to go down to Dallas and with Mark Cuban and play for that team because – in that Western Conference, they're right in the thick of it if you get a couple more big ones in there, JC.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it's a perfect scenario. We used to have Cuban on the score all the time, and mm-hmm. Great guy, will do anything for players and make sure that the culture's good and they have everything. He was the first one to put big screen TVs and video games in the locker room. But the Dallas Mavs are a unique situation, I think, though, in that Luka Doncic – does not need, like, another superstar with him to score the basketball. He handles it so much that he's kind of that point forward type guy who can, you know, drive it, shoot the rock, just take over. They need to surround him with some guys who can play some defense and really understand their role. And, you know, it's not going to take much for that mm-hmm. team to really get to that next level. If they a few key free agents, a good draft, we can get a guy who can just hone in on it. Like a guy like Peyton Pritchard would do wonders for them, because true point guard who can get the most out of their team when Doncic doesn't have the ball. And, you know, they're just up against the buzzsaw and the Warriors right now. But, you know, if they're smart, you know, they don't need to go get the Bradley Beals of the world, the Russell Westbrooks of the world. You know, that would hurt that team and take them the other way. Because Doncic is special, man. He's got to stop laughing at the opponent, because, you know, I think that rubs people the wrong way. You know, what he did with Phoenix in Game 7. But, you know, the dude's an absolute stud.
Joe, any thoughts?
No, look, I agree with him. It's like you don't need an extra, like, superstar with him on that team, because the guy's just, like, he's got a hell of a three-point shot from freaking out deep. The guy's got as many assists as Tatum, as many points as Tatum, and they don't consider him as good as Tatum around here, which is stupid because the guy is just as good, maybe better than Jason, and I'd rather have him on my team than Jason right now, because it's just like he can do more all-around things for you. And look, the only thing Mark Cuban needs to spend money on is his arena and make it stop leaking. Because it's like, wait, there's going to be a better way to clean up a spill than towels in the corner of a thing, which was like, that was kind of crazy last night. The man has more money than God, and you're using towels to clean up an arena. And if you see his face, look on his face is priceless of like, you shit me. This thing is leaking. Like, I wouldn't want to be who was in charge of that stadium, because he did not look like a happy camper last night.
No, I agree. But looking forward, I mean, as much as I like Golden State, boy, I'd love to see a final with Dallas and Boston, because I'd love Doncic. You know, first of all, he'd be in our backyard up at the Garden for a couple of games. That would be awesome just to have him here. But I just like what he brings to the table. I really do, and I think it's a showcase with the great players in Tatum and Brown and Doncic. I would love to see that scenario. It's probably not going to happen, because teams that come from behind in the NBA down 3-0 are 0-146. So the odds are stacked against them. But if they were able to go and win a game 5, you know what? Anything could happen. But be that as it may, we'll see.
I want no part of Luka Doncic against the Boston Celtics this year. I've seen that movie twice this year. They knew he was going to get the ball at the end of the game. He got it. And he buried their ass in the final seconds of both games. I want no part of that story.
Great. All right, that's going to take care of the basketball. So this is a Going Old School show with Chips, Joe, Crow. We've got approximately 45 minutes left in the show, so we get a lot to cover. Basketball, a little wrestling, maybe a hockey take or two. But we're going to move, baseball. So we're going to move on to baseball. And before we get into our top five and our This Day in Pittsburgh Pirates history, or baseball history, if you will, we got to talk about the Red Sox, guys, because 10-3 in their last 13, JC and Joe, 6 in a row, and I was the fool to push the panic button. Am I concerned a little bit? A World Series berth, yes, but what I've seen from this team is some heart. The offense should come around. Pitching's been good. A couple of players stepping up. Nick Pivetta has found his form from last year, the gritty, grindy guy. But no pun intended, but the story's been Trevor, JC. What a month. Have a week, but have a month of May. And I questioned this guy. Could he play in Boston? We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. He's proven me wrong, JC, because he's like tearing the cover off the ball. And you can see his emotion, and it was grinding at him, his will to produce. And what have we seen from Trevor Story the past couple of weeks? It's incredible.
Yeah, and you know, it took him, you know, that little road trip in Atlanta, got him off the snide, took, you know, home run center field. Got him off that schneid, and, you know, shame on us. And I went back and looked at some of the stats in Colorado the last couple of years, and this story has played out before. If you look at his splits from April to May, his OPS is nearly doubled in May than it is in April. So, you know, you combine that with the fact that he had 3 weeks of spring training this year. His wife gave birth to a child. He's moving leagues. He's moving cities. You know, he had the boo birds. And you know what? Oh, yeah, he's going to learn a new position while trying to come in as the heir apparent to the stud of the team that's beloved by everybody here in Boston, Xander Bogaerts. So, you know, a little bit going on in his life. But, heck, the last 5 games, 8 home runs, 17 RBIs. And it's contagious, man. It's contagious. And, you know, we saw for the first 6 weeks of this season the Red Sox having to rely on Bogey, on Rafael Devers, and J.D. Martinez, the only guy sitting above .220. And now you see the stories, the Franchy Corderos, JBJ getting into it. Christian Vasquez last night with a 3-run blast.
Mm-hmm.
That's the team we thought we would see offensively. It's taken them a bit to get here. The thing is, can they keep it going? And now can Chaim Bloom get them the reinforcements that they need? A first baseman, a right-handed first baseman, because Franchy's giving us some life here, but he's not your everyday first baseman.
No question.
As a lefty. He needs a righty. Bobby Dalbec needs to go back to Worcester. That's who he is. He needs to go back there, find his stroke again. You need a closer. Get me David Bednar from Pittsburgh, please. Mm-hmm. Get him on the first plane here. You know, get me anybody that can be consistent so I don't have to see Sawamura anymore, so I don't have to see Ryan Brazier get called back up from Worcester. Thank God he got sent down last week. You know, that your team has given you the opportunity for new life. They're 20-22. They're a game back of the third wild card spot, and I can't believe I'm talking about wild card spots on May 25th, but that's the new reality. Chaim Bloom now has to do his job and get them reinforcements.
A catcher would be nice, too. No offense, but a real defensive catcher would be excellent because Vasquez needs to go, but that's just my opinion. He needs to go for a while because he had a good year in 2019 and hasn't been seen since. But that's, you know, just one man's opinion, and it's like, yes, we need a bullpen. Where does Whitlock go? Does Whitlock go back to the bullpen, or does he start? Where do you keep him? And yes, a right-handed first baseman would be great because Dalbec, I'm with you, JC, belongs in Worcester to get his stroke back. And just a few tweaking would be great. And it's like the fact that we had a 6-game winning streak and we're 2 games under 500 tells you just how far back we were when we're crawling back to where we need to be. But, you know, speaking of panic, Chips, I never noticed it. Did somebody panic or something? I didn't notice anything about that.
Didn't notice anything about what? Panic?
Panic. I didn't notice anything. What? Did somebody panic? It was panic.
Only a fool would panic after 30 games. I don't know who would do that. Do you guys know anyone? That would be me.
No,
yes. I was a fool. I hit the panic button, man, 30 games in, maybe a little less. I was like, boom. Boy, was I wrong, and I'm proud to say it. And I'm happy to say it because what I'm expecting, JC and Joe, you know, obviously you talk about wild cards, but, you know, I'm looking at the standings now. And Baltimore's no slouch either, by the way. They'll be competitive with 18-26. So say what you want. It's not a 14 division anymore because Baltimore got some players, and they may spoil a couple of they may win a couple more games than everyone thought they should. But you climb the ladder, right? You say the Yankees are up there. Yeah, the division winners, but the leaders. But like you said, you're 2.5 games behind the Blue Jays. And you're closing on the race. So you climb that ladder, but you need to win ball games to do it. And that's what they're doing. And that's what I like from them. And winning is contagious. And it's talked about. This is what makes baseball amazing, JC. And we talked about it. And Joe, you know, you look at Story as an example. I mean, when players get in the zone in baseball, it is fun to watch because it's like they're playing softball. And they see everything with the naked eye. That's one of the beauties of baseball. And if you're just a fan of the Red Sox or anyone for that matter, just watch Trevor Story at the plate, how locked in he is. And that's kind of beauty of the sport because he's seeing that thing as well as he can. So that's kind of one of the reasons I love the game of baseball, guys. So you see.
Yeah, it is. And you just have, you know, the old adage is, You know, good players eventually rise to what the back of their baseball card tells you they are.
Yep.
And that's, you know, even with bad hitters, Bobby Dalbec on the negative side, he's showing you who he is. We, you know, they just refuse to admit it. You know, that 1 month, you know, late August or, you know, September, what he gave you, great. Should have capitalized him and traded him then. But Trevor Story, I mean, absolute stud. You know, Rafi Devers, Xander Bogaerts, J.D. Martinez, they are just professional hitters. And, yeah, it's amazing. You know, it brings you back to what we thought, you know, Barry Bonds was, you know, before, you know, we knew he was on steroids, where it's just, you just knew he was going to do it. And mm-hmm. it's a beautiful thing to watch because we all look at the game and say, he just missed a fastball. 100-mile-per-hour fastball. And when these guys are in the zone, if they can slow it down to what they, you know, so it looks like a beach ball. And
right.
That's what they're doing right now. And it just makes the game look ridiculously easy, which it's not. And then it's a great thing to watch. And on the other side, you know, their starting pitching is starting to give them some length. Pivetta, 3 good outings now. You know, Hill and Waka are giving you some length. You know, Eovaldi bounced back. You know, still has some trouble with the long ball. Gave it up, you know, 2-run shot on Sunday. You know, and then the bullpen with Robles gave it up for the tie. And thankfully they rebounded in the 10th. But, you know, they're starting to get that length so that you can ease some of that bullpen load a little bit. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Chaim Bloom views this team. You know, because, you know, when we talked about hitting the panic button, you know, what was the rumors going around that, oh, my God, the Sox would be sellers. They got to get rid of Xander
right.
and J.D. and Nathan Eovaldi and everybody. It's amazing. A week later, you know, 6 wins in a row, and the talk is, how can we add?
Good point. Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
No, I agree with you. It's like, what difference a week makes, and like, but that's the glory of the adding a third wild card, because let's be serious, no team is really out of it this early, because it's like you got a third team sitting there, so it gives a lot of teams life that normally wouldn't, because then they look at a big hill and they're like, how do we climb past this hill? But it gives teams like the Red Sox of, and that's all you need is hope, because if the guys have confidence, next thing you know, it snowballs. Next thing you know, you win 10 of 11, or you win in 15 of 17, and it's like, and you're gaining some ground. You can't make up a 12-game deficit in 2 games. So it's a grind, and as long as you're a baseball player, remember that it's a long grind, and we're not even in June yet, that there's always a shot, and that's all you need is hope. Now let's hope that Hein can pull some more magic and get somebody we need, some help.
Right.
Reinforcement to 10, which we desperately need.
Our biggest
prospect, or our biggest that we got from the, who we got him from, got promoted from Portland to Pawtucket. So now we've got a possible guy for the pen sitting in Pawtucket. So his next step up is the major league. So let's see what he does at AAA level and go from there.
Right. I love that you referred to them as Pawtucket. I love that. I love that. Pawtucket Red Sox forever. Hashtag it, baby. I love it. No, all kidding aside.
Exactly.
But second and three against Chicago. Rich Hill takes the mound tonight, 8:10 p.m. start locally. Then they go – actually, they come home in a 5-game set versus the Baltimore Orioles with a day-night doubleheader on Saturday before Cincinnati Reds are in town to do some interleague play for 2 so they can make up some hay. But, again, that Oriole team is pesky. But the Red Sox are playing really well now, and it's good to see. Give me, and I mean this sincerely, meaningful games in September, and I'll start with that. Because meaningful games in September means you're playing for something. I like it. That's all I'm asking for to start as a Red Sox fan. But be that as it may, we get the pitch this day in pitcher priority history oncoming. But we'd love to debut, and guys, we did it last year. I had a lot of fun with it. It isn't rocket science. It's what we do right now, 6:54 p.m. Eastern Time. We each give our top 5 power rankings in Major League Baseball. So without further ado, Joe, start us off in the inaugural top 5 power rankings for the 2022 campaign on May 25th.
So just let me be clear that my top five team could be the 10th team right now, because from 10 to 5 is a flip of a coin, and my top five right now is the Houston Astros, 28-16. One-game winning streak, they're plus 46 runs on the good side. Mr. Jose Altuve, even though he's been injured a little bit, leading the way, 289, 9 homers, 14 RBIs. Alex Bregman, Jeremy Pena is actually doing well, 293, 7 home runs, 23 RBIs. Yordan Alvarez, who we killed us last year, has got 250, 12 home runs, 25 RBIs. And the ageless wonder, Justin Verlander, is leading their way with a 6-1, 1.22 ERA. Presley has 6 saves, but right now they're number 5 in my top 5.
Go ahead, JC.
And in that vein, I'm going to give you a top 6, because at 5, I actually have a tie. I couldn't flip that coin. So tying with those Astros that you talked about, Joe, and yes, Justin Verlander, that fountain of youth, of course. The Milwaukee Brewers are tying the Houston Astros there. The Brewers 27-16, first in the Central. They're killing it at home, 14-6 at home. But here's the caveat with them. Their pitching's holding up. They got 3.41 ERA.
Yep.
Their offense is a surprising sixth with an OPS of 7.25, but they've got the softest schedule going in Major League Baseball. 4.52 as they take on the Reds, the Cubs, and the Pirates.
Good
continuously.
Point.
So, you know, there's a caveat there. They've got to get their offense going, but for now, knock on wood, the Brewers and the Astros tied at number 5.
I like that. An old friend, Hunter Renfroe, is, I think, approaching double digits if he hasn't already in homers. So, again, why can't we get players like that? Hashtag Bob LaBelle. But, Joe, I'm going to agree with you. Joe Cross, you're right there with the Brewers. I like the Astros, too. 17 out of the last 22 in the win column, plus 46 run differential. You mentioned, you know, obviously the Bregmans, the Brantleys, and the Altuves plus are all there. But you mentioned two guys in Pena and Alvarez, two studs. And what it tells you is this Astros team ain't going anywhere, because they've got a farm system. They're bringing up players to plant. And every year, in and out, I mean, they're loaded offensively. Framber Valdez and return of Justin Verlander. And Kate Upton has to be doing something right with Justin's arm, because he is pitching lights out. And Verlander at 40, I believe, is looking as good as he has. And, man, every pitcher is going to get Tommy John surgery, maybe once or twice in their career, just to come back from it. But Ryan Pressly solid in the bullpen with 6 saves. The team is number 2 in homers. The staff number 2 in team ERA. And the Houston Astros are number 5 in my power rankings this week.
My number 4 team, and I have no idea how they're number 14, but is the Minnesota Twins. At 27-16, 8-2 in the last 10 games. They got a 6-game winning streak like the Red Sox. They're plus 34 in run differential. Byron Buxton, the usual, is 4 homers, 21 RBIs. Max Kepler, 256, 6 homers, 22 RBIs. They've got nobody that's hitting above 250 in the starting lineup. So it's like, it's just how they get it done. I couldn't tell you. It's Joe Ryan leading the way with 5-2, 2.28 ERA. Dylan Bundy started off good, but now he's come down to earth to 3-2 with a 5.14 ERA. Emiliano Pagan has 6 saves, but right now Twins are doing everything enough to win, to stay in first place, and right now they're in my number 4 team in power rankings.
I love the love for Rocco Baldelli.
Yes.
My number 4 team, the San Diego Padres, the Friars. They're 28-15, second in the NL West. They went into San Francisco over the weekend and swept the Giants in a 7-3 last 10. They had won 5 in a row. But, hey, who's leading the deal with the Pods? Fernando Tatis, still not back.
Nope.
We'll see him in June, hopefully. But good old friend Manny Machado, 8 home runs, 365 average, 27 RBIs, and an OPS of 1.044. Not too shabby there. And how about former Royals first baseman Eric Hosmer leading the way?
Yep.
Getting some power back in his bat. 24 ribbies already, hitting 320. Those two vets are carrying the load right now for the Padres. And they've got enough pitching to hold off, but can they keep it up offensively? You know, only a game back of the Dodgers in the NL West. And that's just going to be a fun thing to watch because this Padre team, we all thought they were going to get there and they kind of, you know, boom, the cliff at the end of last season. Can they get it back going this year and get back into the playoffs? Be a chin to watch. Right now, they're my number 14.
And I echo that sentiment. The Padres come in at my number four spot as well. 17-7 away from home. 10-4 in one-run games. You mentioned Manny Machado. He leads his Padres in every offensive statistical category, but he leads the majors in hits and batting average. So old friend Manny getting it done. And you mentioned Hosmer. What a bounce back, JC, from his disappointing end to last season, much like the whole team itself. And the reason being, they went out and got a new manager and maybe just what the team needed. Bob Melvin, who did great things in Oakland, comes over, manages this team. Tatis, it'll be a, you talk about players that come back. I'm a little worried about his health going forward in years, but you look at an acquisition late season, he could come back again. He did. He underwent a bone scan yesterday, and it looks like he's going to need more healing in his wrist before he's cleared to swing a bat. But he's not there. Joe Musgrove, hometown guy, getting it done with Manea and Darvish, 11 combined wins between him. But I love this Padres team. There's something going on. They're fun to watch. And Tatis isn't even there. Second in the West, 28-15, number four in my power rankings this week in Major League Baseball.
So you guys have number four. I have them number three. The
Ooh.
Padres number three because they're plus 27 runs. They're 28-15, you know, the 7-3. But they're 10-4 in one-run games. Tells you all you need to know of last year. That so far, so good in one-run games. Manny Machado leading the way. Hosmer leading the way. Musgrove, starting off strong, but can he stay strong? Because he started off strong last year and faded. As long as he stays strong, him, Darvish, Mackenzie Gore, Taylor Rogers, nailing down the bullpen with 16 saves. And that's with the one of their guys, Claridge, on the back on the injured list because he came back strong, but now he's got some issues with that same arm he had the Tommy John surgery. So it's only on the 15-day disabled list, but that could go longer. Not sure, but he would be key to them for the second half run. So his health, if getting him back would be key. But, yeah, I've got them as number three in my power rankings.
Number three for me, the New York Mets, 29-17, lost again today. Unfortunately, second loss in less than 24 hours out in San Francisco. And, you know, they're kind of taking it on the chin the last couple of days. You know, they blew a lead, lost 13-12 last night, got raked around. They were down 9-0 early before scoring a couple of runs, losing 9-3 today. And the Mets, you know, they've showed moxie behind Buck Showalter, but it's all about the studs and the injuries now. I mean, Jacob
yep.
DeGrom was out, and now Max Scherzer out 6 to 8 weeks with that abductor strain. Whew, you know, it's they're going good now, but how can they sustain it with the two studs out, you know? So far, I mean, 7 shutouts, they've been getting it done, but it's now adversity is hitting your forefront, and
yep.
that's really tough. Especially when you have the defending champion Atlanta Braves trying to, you know, get back into things, and you get the Phillies in there, Miami's playing better, you know, it's you just wonder, you know, this is the first thing, and now the Mets were all in, you know, will they be all in, you know, after this 6-week period, you know,
right.
That'll be the thing because they, you know, you get the Yankees on the other side, you've got to continue. It was a great first 6 weeks. But now coming off adversity, it's going to be tough for them to stay in our top five.
My number three team this week are the Los Angeles Dodgers at 29-13. Look at, again, plus 102 run differential. Are we any surprised that this team can score runs? 9-1 in their last 10. And in that 10-game span, they are outscoring their opposition 67-34. Ho-hum, just another day at the office. And the beat goes off of this team offensively. All they did was add a 302, three homer, 23 RBI this season. Former MVP and Freddie Freeman. The rich get richer in Los Angeles. And, again, it's just playing out the string, getting to the playoffs, and competing for a World Series. That's what it is in LA, and it's going to be that way early. Here's the one thing they have they didn't think they would have, a Clayton Kershaw, who they weren't sure was going to retire or should they re-sign him. All he's done is go out, and he's 4-0 and 5 starts with a 1.80 ERA, 30 innings pitched, 32 Ks. They get that from him, they're going to waltz away from this division in the war of attrition known as a 152-game season. The Dodgers are the team leader in RBI, offensive team leader in RBIs in all of baseball at 219. They are number one in Major League Baseball pitching-wise with a 2.76 ERA again. Balance, balance, balance. Powerful, powerful, powerful Dodger team. They are number three in my power rankings this week.
And my number two team, because I refuse to put them in number one, are the New York Yankees. 30-13.
What a holding a grudge.
No, there's legitimacy to this. It's not because it's grudge. They've got a one-game win streak. They're plus 66 runs in run differential. Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Anthony Rizzo getting it done. Judge in 314, 17 home runs, 34 RBIs. Stanton, 285. 14 home runs, 35 RBIs. Hey, Rizzo only batting 232, but he got 11 bangers and 26 RBIs. And, oh, wait, Garrett Cole, is he done? Is he washed up? Yeah, wasn't that about 2 weeks ago? People were questioning it. Well, he's 4-1, 3.31 ERA with 62 Ks. I don't think he's done. He won't be done anytime soon. James Talon, 4-1, 2.95. Luis Severino, quietly 3-0, 3.02. Those Chapman, nine saves, but he's on the 15-day disabled list. They are 9-4 in one-run games. So right now, the New York Yankees, to me, are the number two team in my power rankings as of now.
Ditto for me. The Yankees are my number two for everything that you just said, and every starting pitcher in your rotation with an ERA under 3.50. You're doing something good. Aaron Judge, 17 home runs, run differential plus 66. You had guys named Trevino getting walk-off hits last night in the Bronx. And, hey, they had the Donaldson flare-up and the controversy with Tim Anderson and the everything that entailed. Won't go much into it, but it's, you know, they weathered that storm over the weekend. They lost three in a row against the White Sox and then losing to the Orioles Monday night. But they weathered that storm. They'll come back. The annual Giancarlo Stanton injury is here. He went on the IL today. But you get Joey Gallo back. So, you know, we'll see where that goes because, you know, Joey Gallo's been a bust since he got traded to the Bronx, you know, at the trade deadline last year. It's a good spot for him to kind of prove that he belongs. And the spot's not big for him because he is a big-time player. Time for him to prove it with Stanton out for the next week or so. So, it'll Yankees, hey, they've done well now. But all you have to do is look a year ago as to how much things can change in a couple of months in the American League East. So, it looks good now, but it still is May 25th. So, I'm with you, Joe. I can't give him my number one spot.
My number two team are the New York Mets, and I really like this team. I like them going in. I like the fact that the owner's spending money. 16-8 on the road. JC, you talked about the injuries, but here's one thing they can withstand. They're 8 games ahead of the Braves, which can maybe they can bridge a gap between this. Obviously, they're number one in batting average as a team with 263. They're number two in RBIs in all of baseball, number one in hits. They're going to need to keep up that offense with the aforementioned Max Scherzer, who's out 6 to 8 weeks, probably with the oblique. And Jake DeGrom, who should be pitching bullpen sessions this week. They've got to weather that storm. Two people to look out for to fill those gaps in pitching, Taijuan Walker and David Peterson. One of those guys or both of them have to bridge this gap. If they can do that and get to the next 6 to 8 weeks, it could bode well for the Mets because they're loaded down the stretch. I like what they're doing offensively. Francisco Lindor, a big bounce back this year. And Alonso and Jeff McNeil carrying the heavy load offensively. Francisco Lindor, as I mentioned, but Starling Marte is pretty solid as well. I like this Met team. I still think they're pretty strong. I think they can withstand these two injuries to two studs and just break gap until they get back, like I said earlier. The Mets are my number two team in all of baseball in our power rankings this week.
Number one in my power ranking is your number three team, Chips, the the Los Angeles Dodgers. How can you not put him at number one with 102, as you said, 102 run differential, 29-13, 9-1 in the last 10 games, two-game winning streak, all this with Kershaw, Clayton Kershaw, on the 15-day disabled list. My old friend Mookie Betts, Bob O'Bell, why can't we get players like this? Oh, wait, he's only batting 292, 12 home runs, 30 RBIs. It's like Trey Turner, 288, 34 RBIs, Freeman, 302. No home runs, but it's three home runs with 23 RBIs. Get the batting average. They're just killing people. And Walter Buehler, 6-1. Tyler Anderson, 5-0. Gosselin, 4-0. Kershaw was 4-0, 1.80. Oh, wait, the rich got richer because they got rid of Jansen. And here comes Craig Kimbrell with 9 saves. They got 2.76 ERA as a team. I mean, they're just... they're downright solid from top to bottom. I don't see them going anywhere. I see them being pissed off at the world from what happened last year and going strong. And I've got them as my number one team this week in power rankings.
Yeah, ditto for me. Dodgers as my number one team for all the reasons that you just said. I mean, leading ERA, 2.76, number one in OPS. You know, scored 227 runs, run differential almost 100. And you talk about Mookie Betts, who struggled to start the season, but just like Trevor Story, last seven games for the Mookster, 11 hits, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, 4 walks, hitting .440, slugging percentage of 1.080, expanding his zone, and he is just swinging at everything, being aggressive, and being the superstar that he is. And, you know, the scary thing about the Dodgers is, you know, kind of like what we talked about with the Mets, where they're going to have to, you know, get some improvement as they go along. They've got the team, they've got the talent, and they have the resources to get even better as we go along the season to improve their team, no matter whether they need to do it for injury or for performance. They can go out and get what they need, and that's a pretty scary thing.
My number one team this week, I'm going to do it as my two counterparts get to it. I'm going to put the Yankees as my number one this week, and it is this week. Obviously, 30-13, best record in Major League Baseball. But here's why I think they could be legit, gentlemen, going forward. And offensively, you can say what you want. They're solid there. Aaron Judge, after being just by Brian Cashman, he is betting on himself, and right now all the chips on his side. So a good credit to Aaron Judge because he's going to make it big somewhere. But the reason I like him, because we thought it was Gerrit Cole and everybody else, maybe Jordan Montgomery in the starting rotation, but Nestor Cortes and Jameson Taillon, I mean, if they're a solid 3-4, this team could win easily 100 games and may not, and pitching may actually be pretty darn good in the Bronx, if you will. Nestor Cortes, team leading 1.80 ERA, and that's fifth overall. He's 3-1 with an 89 whip, and Jameson Taillon, 4-1 with a 2.95 ERA. They provide much-needed starting pitching that this team hasn't had in the past couple of years. They can hit the lights out of the ball. They're in that short porch in right field in Yankee Stadium. I don't care if it's Stanton Gingrich. Anyone can hit out of there if they want. So that's why offensively I think they'll be good, but the pitching is different this year thus far. Here's one thing that scares me if I'm a Yankee fan. The Josh Donaldson stuff. Will that be a distraction? Because Aaron Judge came out, I believe it was him or some other player, and said he just shouldn't have said that. So Josh Donaldson, we're finding out, is not the best guy in the clubhouse. So that could be an ongoing story. So we'll see what happens with that. That could derail them. They tapered off a little bit. But right now at 30-13 and what they're doing, pitching and hitting-wise, the New York Yankees – on my number one team in this week's power rankings. So, be that as it may, Johnny Johnson, throw for in here.
Somebody's a Yankees fan. He calls me a Pirates fan. Somebody's a Yankees fan.
No, I'm not. I am not a Yankees fan. You know that. You know damn right well I'm not a Yankees fan. Joe,
hey, boy, get up! Breaking news out of Miami.
Go ahead. What's the breaking news?
Good news for Celtics fans. Marcus Smart and Robert Williams III, both available for Game 5.
There you go. There you go.
There we go. Works for me.
Coming from a Yankee fan of Brandon. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, before we, that was good. Before we get to this day in Pittsburgh Pirate history, we've got our caller on the line, and he is Lou, calling us from the Garden State in New Jersey. Let me see. Hold on, Lou. Let me punch you up there. Where are you? Lou from New Lou. Welcome to the show, man. Yes, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind, Lou from New Jersey?
And of course, speaking of a Yankee fan, of course, you know, you got to like what they're doing, you know. But, of course, it's also been, you know, a good season for both New York teams. You know, it's very rare that both New York teams, you know, do so well. I mean, this has been one of the best baseballs in New York so far. So maybe that's a good sign coming up.
It's not football, Lou. The baseball teams usually win. This isn't football. The baseball teams in New York tend to win a little bit,
right,
unlike football.
Right. That's gonna be another story. Although I did like the draft picks that the Giants and Jets are making, so maybe their misfortunes can turn around. I'm not saying it's going to be a given, but, you know, maybe it could turn around, because you can't do much worse, you know, than the past few years.
Yeah, and
true.
Okay, so. Yeah, and if Brian Daboll can do what he did with Josh Allen to Daniel Jones, because I don't think we know who the real Daniel Jones is yet. JC, and I'll get your opinion on this as well.
Yeah, that's another story altogether.
I'm not sure. So if anyone can reconstruct or rebuild, if you will, a Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll did it, because he did a hell of a job with Josh Allen, guys. Anyone?
Yeah,
anyone?
I mean, you already hear the Giants players saying that, you know, even after a couple of weeks of being with Brian Daboll in workouts, that the dude's an offensive genius. And we've known that. I mean,
yep.
We all saw what Josh Allen was the first year, and look at what he is now. Well, that's all Brian Daboll and Josh Allen together, that relationship.
Yes.
And, you know, that just seems odd to me as someone looking at the Patriots. Why would you want an offensive play caller and an offensive coordinator having such a good relationship with a quarterback? That seems foreign to me.
Any final thoughts?
And of course, well, yeah, that whole incident, you know, over the past weekend. Hopefully, it's not going to affect them too much. But, you know, you don't say something, you know, that's completely stupid and, you know, start like a war in your own teammates.
Good point.
You know, with the Donaldson situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
yeah.
I want nothing to do with this guy. We teams, but I want nothing to do with him. It's like, well, your partner's expression, fight me. Because that's exactly what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that, you guys?
In-house, I don't want to see. Look, if they're smart, it gets taken care of in-house, Lou, and it doesn't – look, they quiet and it stays in the clubhouse. Hopefully, I think cooler heads can prevail and get them to play ball and realize that, like, they both want to win, and that's all that matters, and to keep his mouth shut. But only time will tell on that one.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, Lou.
How much time, that we don't know.
Lou, we're pressed for time, so tell everybody where they can hear your stuff. I know you got the podcast that you do.
Yes. Enhanced Sports Show, Saturday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. Number again, 512-543-4662. We'll tackle the NFL, the USFL as well, the playoffs. We'll discuss the Donaldson situation briefly. I don't want to get into a heated argument, but we'll discuss it briefly. Of course, and the baseball's heating up, so we're going to take a look at, you know, the major injuries and whatnot. So, and of course, the recap of the Preakness Stakes for you horse racing lovers out there. So,
there
you got time? Yeah, call Saturday 5 to 7 East Coast time, 512-543-4662. I guarantee if you call, I will get you in.
Awesome, Lou. Thanks for your time, man. Always appreciate when you call the show. Thanks, baby.
Thank you, Lou.
See you, babe. That's Lou from New Jersey, a resident New Yorker, and coming from a Yankee, and which I now am. I'm kind of glad to hear from someone from, you know, from the Garden State or the upwards New York City area. Anyway, John Crow, Johnny Sunship's here, and Joe Ferrand as well. But before we get into wrestling, because we want to close the show, we got about 10 minutes left. I want to start with this day in Pittsburgh prior to history, JC, and obviously you can chime in on this. If you want to do baseball history, it's fine. But, Joe, you be the resident pirate honk to be. Come out of the closet a little bit and tell us what this day or week means to you in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Well, in 1954, the Pittsburgh Pirates traded Cal Abrams outfield to the Baltimore Orioles for Dick Littlefield. Littlefield had a decent year for the Orioles. It's like he ended up getting traded the following year. Abrams, not so much. He was traded the next year for a more versatile name of Bill Verdon. So that's where Verdon came from, is he was traded eventually for Cal Abrams. So that's my day in Pittsburgh Pirates history.
JC, you have anything?
I'm looking forward to later tonight when another transaction in Pittsburgh Pirates history comes, when the Red Sox trade for David Bednar.
I like that. You hit Pittsburgh Pirates day in history was today, hoping it happens a little early. So that's good. Okay. This day in, all right, May 25th, 1935, home runs number 712, 713, and 714 were launched by the great George Herman Ruth against the Pirates in Pittsburgh. The Babe had only played in the Steel City one other time, and that was in the 1927 World Series. He obviously set a career record for homers at 714, which you millennials may not know, which was later broken in 1974 by the great and late, great Henry Aaron, Hall of Famer. But this is the game, too, because before Babe Ruth hit his final homer on this day, 1935, as legend would have it, that's when he pointed to the field, allegedly pointing to fans who were rooting for him, saying he's going to hit one out. And that's where that whole thing came from. Legend has it he hit a ball 600 feet. Now, measured whatnot. But that's where all this came to play. So, hey, Babe Ruth hit his final three home runs. He retired 8 days later after hitting three homers on this day in 1935 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So, I like that. It's old school. Taking you back, old school. What I'd like to do, provide a historical reference. But, guys, lots going on in the wrestling world. We've got 7 and a half minutes left. JC, I'm going to start with you because lots shaking in the world of WWE. Monday Night Raw, take us to the end, gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge week. I mean, not only for AEW because they have Double or Nothing pay-per-view coming along this Sunday in Las Vegas, where hopefully CM Punk win his first AEW World Heavyweight Championship, but also in WWE, where the continuing number one story, you know, remains Sasha Banks and Naomi walking out on the WWE, the tag team championships, and now their contracts being frozen, and it doesn't look like this one's going to be coming to a head anytime soon, as they've now frozen their contracts.
I just think it's BS because Charlotte Flair had a hissy fit, got away with it. Other guys have walked off, and nothing has been. But JC, you're right. Their contract's almost up, so it's close. But the big news I found this week was the fact that The Rock has cleared his schedule or has a clear schedule for next year for WrestleMania, clearing the path for him against Roman Reigns in WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's huge. And I actually think this could help in the Naomi situation because Roman Reigns does not need a championship to be held to face The Rock. The Rock ultimately will beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania in Hollywood next April. We know that's going to happen.
Yep.
So Reigns needs to drop the title. So why not pitch an angle where every member of the Bloodline, the Usos, have a championship, a unified championship, that you have, you know, Silas Soka from NXT, have him win a title, bring that up, bring Naomi over to SmackDown, have her win the SmackDown championship, and then when the Roman Reigns loses his title, whether it be to Randy Orton, Riddle, Drew McIntyre, Cody Rhodes, whoever they want to do, have The Rock just walk in and say, you're the head of the table and it seems like you're the only one that doesn't have a title around here. Looks like I'm the head of the table. And that's all you need. And we know it won't happen because, you know, WWE's on their high horse about these things. But you know, it. I love it. You know, you're absolutely right, because The Rock's clear on the schedule for that, and also the launch of the XFL. So he's got everything from January to April set in stone for that, and then he'll go back to being movies, and we should all be the benefactors of 3 months of The Rock.
Love it.
So say you're hoping, do you think they are good enough? Do you think that they are smart enough to let CM Punk win this championship?
I hope so, because I like Page, you know, Hangman Page's gimmick, but it's not a number one guy. You know, I mean, does anyone watch AEW and think that that's the number one guy? And it just seems like it's just there as a little gimmick thing. And CM Punk, let him have the title. Let's see some of those matches that we talked about when he first got there. Let him face Bryan Danielson. Let him face Jon Moxley. Let him face some of these other guys. You know, AEW's been a little stagnant, you know, in how they've booked things. You know, they've got this thing going on where, you know, let's bring in people in the forbidden door. And you know exactly they're going to lose every single time. They brought John Morrison in last week, you know, to face Samoa Joe. Lose. They brought in, you know, Big Cass. He's now William Morrissey from Impact. Boom, lost. Anybody Tony Khan brings in right now in these days is losing to his guys. So it takes some of the rub out of it. You know, AEW needs some rub here. And so I think this weekend's a perfectly great spot for them to get a little bit juice, have CM Punk win that thing. If they don't, when, you know, when would you do it?
True. Take us home, Chips.
Yeah, it's about going to do it. But I did want to get a quick hockey minute in, guys. If you're a hockey fan, you're going to root for the Rangers against the Carolina Hurricane, because you got two goalies who are the best in the business right now. For the Rangers, Igor Shesterkin, who's a Vezina Trophy winner, stud. And the hockey players is all about goaltending. That could be really exciting. And, of course, the Lightning, who are my favorite team to hate right now, Andrei Vasilevsky, the best in the world over the past 5-6 years. So hockey standpoint, if you want a dream matchup to go into the finals from a goaltending standpoint, root for the Rangers. I know it's hard being a, you know, I'm a Yankee fan now, so it's easy for me to root for New York teams. But root for the Rangers.
I was going to say, a little New York here.
I sound like a Yankee home. Oh, Joe, got Pittsburgh, and I get the Yankees. I can see the feud going on for the rest of the year. But, no, from a goaltending standpoint, may not get any better than that. So that's my tip to people there. But, guys, always a pleasure. I thank you for your time today. Good therapy. It's great to get back and talk to you guys. And, again, taking time out of your day to do the show with me on the Going Old School podcast is a privilege, and I appreciate you both.
Anytime. Enjoy the fun.
You got
it's
it, man.
Always a good time. Always a pleasure on this side, so we're good. You know, drink your lemonade, have your tacos, have some fun.
Do it. But listen, and on a serious note, guys, what we hit on the top of the show, let's show love. Be nice to each other. It's got we all have it in us. We got to dig down deep as a society, as a nation, and find it. Each of us individually, pull together, and just love one another, and just be nice, man. That's what it comes down to. It's basic. It's foundation. Just get back to basics. And guys, to each and every one of you, have a great sports weekend. Enjoy the games tonight, everybody. We'll talk to you next week at this time. Thanks to Joe. Thanks to JC. And thanks to Luke Bunn from New Jersey. He's going to do it here. The Going Old School Show on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for listening live and on replay. We come to you every Wednesday. Thanks again, people. Take care. Be well and be safe.